Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We're on day 262, which brings us, actually 263, sorry, one day behind. 263, which brings us to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us, for your love, and for your grace that has been abundantly poured out to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word, all of it. It is living and active. It is given to you, given to us from you, to sharpen us, to shape us, to show us Christ and to make us more like him. So Holy Spirit, please come and write your word on our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 16. Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. And you shall offer the Passover sacrifice to the Lord your God from the flock or the herd at the place that the Lord will choose to make his name dwell there. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat it with unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that all the days of your life you may remember the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. No leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the flesh that you sacrifice on the evening of the first day remain all night until morning. You may not offer the Passover sacrifice within any of your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, but at the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell in it. There you shall offer the Passover sacrifice in the evening at sunset, at the time you came out of Egypt, and you shall cook it and eat it at the place that the Lord your God will choose. And in the morning you shall turn and go to your tents. For 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the 7th day there shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it. You shall count 7 weeks. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time the sickle is first put to the standing grain. Then you shall keep the feast of weeks to the Lord your God, with the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, the Levite who is within your towns, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are among you, at the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there. You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. You shall keep the Feast of Booths 7 days. When you have gathered in the produce from your threshing floor and your winepress, you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns. For 7 days you shall keep the feast to the Lord your God at the place that the Lord will choose, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, according to your tribes. And they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, and you shall not accept a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice, and only justice, you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not plant any tree as an Asherah beside the altar of the Lord your God that you shall make, and you shall not set up a pillar which the Lord your God hates. That is Deuteronomy chapter 16 in the ESV. Well, we have here the three major festivals of assembly, and then we have some observations about justice and about idolatry. So let's walk through this. There's three times in a year when God wanted all of his people to assemble at the place that he would appoint. Now, that's Shiloh early on, and it becomes other places. It's basically where the Ark of the Covenant is. So in the tabernacle at first, and then later in the temple when Solomon builds that. The Ark of the Covenant represented the footstool of God from his throne on high, where his feet would touch the earth, and his people would gather around at his feet. So the ingathering is the idea that we as the people of God will gather at his feet to give him praise, to give him honor, to give him thanksgiving, and to pledge our obedience to him. And there were three times a year when this was done. First, Passover is a historical memory of the deliverance that God gave them out of the land of Egypt. And so it would be a feast of unleavened bread for 7 days. The Passover lamb is slaughtered at the beginning of that time, and then there's 7 days of unleavened bread, that's the feast. And this is, again, to remember how God had delivered them out of the house of Egypt, out of the land of bondage, out of their slavery, had brought them through the Red Sea, and then later into the Promised Land. All of that would be remembered and commemorated at Passover. And it is at Passover when Jesus, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us. In fact, when Jesus hung on the cross from noon until 3, he died, you know, toward the close of the day at the time when the Passover lambs would be sacrificed for the people. And he was taken down off of the cross. You don't leave the meat until the next day. Jesus was not left on the cross overnight. He was taken down. He was the Passover lamb slain for us. And his death, just as the Passover lamb covered God's people from the wrath of God, the wrath of God passed over, and it was key to their being delivered out of bondage. Jesus dies on the cross as our Passover lamb. He's sacrificed for us so that God's wrath passes over us because it rested on Christ. He was the substitute sacrifice who took our place, and God's wrath passes over us, and that's part of our deliverance from sin and bondage and slavery to the fear of death. Now, after that, you have the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Weeks is really the Feast of Pentecost. And so it comes after the after Passover, 49 days, 50 days later, you have this Feast of Weeks. And this is the first ingathering. So you begin to count when your sickle is first put to the standing grain. So this is the first of two big harvest festivals. This is the first ingathering, and then the Feast of Booths is the last ingathering. Well, what happened on Pentecost? Of course, we know that there was a first ingathering of a large harvest into the church, which is the fulfillment of Pentecost. Notice that at this joyful feast, which is about praising God for the gift of the harvest, at this joyful feast, there's explicit mention that the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, these are those least of these, and the outcast, and the marginalized that we had talked about before yesterday, they need to be included. God makes a special point to say you need to include them because you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. It's never in keeping with God's kingdom values and kingdom priorities that we only celebrate and we only have gatherings with people who are our friends or our family members or people that we like. We need to have celebrations that welcome in the stranger, welcome in the poor, welcome in the least of these who live among us. And so we need to be welcoming in that way. I think that's an important principle. And what we see at Pentecost is that people from all over were able to come into the church. And we know there were rich, there were poor, there were widows, there were orphans, there were people who needed support from the church, but they were all welcomed in and they were all gathered in. It wasn't just people who are our friends or family members or people who are just like us. The third of the three feasts is the Feast of Booths. Now, it's called the Feast of Booths because they would live in booths, tabernacles, tents, but not tents made of fabric, usually made out of branches and sticks. And that would be a way for them to remember their wilderness wanderings and, you know, how they were finally brought into the Promised Land. So it's sort of looking back on the wilderness wanderings and sort of the end of those wilderness wanderings and how they were brought into the Promised Land. This is a final harvest. This is the second. There's two growing seasons in Israel, a spring harvest and a fall harvest. So this is the fall harvest. It would roughly correspond to our American Thanksgiving, which is a fall harvest festival. Many, many people have lined up these three festivals, and because Jesus died on Passover and because the first ingathering for the church happened at Pentecost, they say, well, the final ingathering will happen at the Feast of Booths. And so that's when Jesus will come again. He'll come again during the Jewish Feast of Booths. Now, the problem with that is Jesus himself told us that no one will know the day or the hour. So just because God did that pattern with the first two, Jesus did die on Passover and the first ingathering for the church was at Pentecost, doesn't mean that God is obligated to have the timing of Jesus' return be exactly during the Feast of Booths. Again, no one knows the day or the hour. That would be a little bit too obvious and too easy to predict, at least once it gets close, to say, well, it could be, you know, this Feast of Booths or whatever. I do think, however, there's a right insight there in that when Jesus comes again, there will be the final ingathering, and it will be the end of our wilderness wanderings in this world, and we'll be brought into the Promised Land, which is the city to come, the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And so that's where we're heading, and that this is the fulfillment. So the fulfillment of Feast of Booths, timing aside, will be when Jesus comes again and we are gathered in. And so that's why these are ultimately given, is to prepare and point the way to Christ, Christ the Passover Lamb, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit being the Pentecost first harvest, and then the return of Christ being the harvest at the end of the age. And then the chapter ends with this call for justice. This is something that's very strong throughout Deuteronomy, and we're in Isaiah on Sunday mornings, and one of the things we're seeing in Isaiah is that Isaiah is often calling the people back to what God had originally charged them with in Deuteronomy. So the things that Israel is violating in Isaiah's day are the things that they were commanded to do specifically in Deuteronomy. And there's a strong emphasis on justice, equal justice under the law for all. And part of that, to not show partiality, is you cannot accept a bribe. And that's one of the things that Isaiah is going to bring out very clearly that was happening in his day, is that justice was being perverted by bribery. Justice blinds the eyes of the wise, subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow. We'll see on Sunday the passage we're going to be in Isaiah takes justice and righteousness and closely aligns them together as being essential to our salvation and to God's rule over his people. And we'll see how that connects to the cross. That's all coming on Sunday. As I'm starting to work through the passage, I'm getting excited about what the Lord has for us this Sunday. But he says that justice has to be upheld, or else, you know, they're not going to be his righteous people in the world. And that's why they're ultimately subject to judgment by God, because they don't keep that. And then the end of the chapter, I might actually have chosen to make the chapter break a little bit different if I was chapterizing the Bible, but that was done hundreds of years ago. So the last two verses are just talking about don't have a pagan style of worship and idolatry. So setting up an Asherah or a pillar, these are fertility symbols, And God says, don't mix them in with my worship. This is another place where God is saying to his people, you keep my worship biblical and pure. You don't mix it in with the ways of the world to make it worldly and, you know, culturally relevant in a way that is just inappropriate, because it's about the honor and the glory of God and not adopting cultural icons and trying to use them in worship. Well, that's Deuteronomy 16. Tomorrow we'll be back in 1 Corinthians for 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hope you can join us for that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this chapter and how it shows us Christ as our Passover lamb who sacrificed for us, as the one who is the one who gathers in the harvest for the church and who will come again to gather in the harvest at the end of the age. Father, help us to live as your holy people in this world. That means we should care about justice and righteousness, because that's what you care about and that's what you want for your people. Help us not to give in to idolatry and to worldly forms of worship. Keep our hearts loyal to you. Forgive us for the times when we drift away so easily, and call us back, Father, to humble reliance upon you and faithful following after you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, thanks for joining me for Deuteronomy 16. Tomorrow, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hope you can join us for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.